This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international programme of the non-profit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hi everyone at home and welcome. This is To The Journey. I'm your co-host Kay Shaw, and with me as always are
Suzanne Williamson and
Zachary Fruling.
Well, today on To The Journey, we have a topic for you that we're really hoping that you'll enjoy. It's one that quite a few people have asked us about and mentioned to us about previously, so we're going to talk tonight about Tom and B'Elanna. I don't know how we've managed to get to episode 228, and I don't really feel like we've talked about them very much.
Well, we have received some listener feedback that we spend an awful lot of time talking about Janeway Chakotay.
No way!
But we don't spend too much time on Tom and
B'Elanna.
I don't
believe
that. That is true. Yes, that's you who managed to slip it in somehow last week when we were talking about Troy. I've no idea how that happened, but anyway. But yeah, Tom and B'Elanna. I love them. I love Tom and B'Elanna. And I think we might have possibly inadvertently given off the impression that we're not so keen on them by not talking about them. But
so on a scale of like 0 to 10, like, okay, maybe 10 to 0, hot or not, Tom and B'Elanna relationship. What's the gut check?
Is 1 cold and 10 hot?
Yes. That's why it was 10 to 0. I had to change directions there.
You confused me with the 10 to 0 thing.
Like, she can't handle the scales, Ark.
It's reversed.
Like, how great of a relationship is it?
How great of a relationship.
Yeah, where do they stand in the hierarchy of relationships in Star Trek?
They're like a 9, surely.
Like a 9? I would put them more like a 7.
I was going to go 7.5, 8.
They're
okay. See, we've got some disagreement already.
Are you not keen? We weren't aware of it.
No, it's not like it's a 3. It's just not like a 10.
Okay.
I mean, their relationship is very, it's very relatable. Their relationship is very relatable. They go through the highs and lows that most couples go through.
It's a pretty classic /typical opposites attract story,
yes.
Right? But okay, here's my fundamental question about Tom and B'Elanna. We're going to cut through the chase and get to brass tacks. My question is, I understand what B'Elanna gets out of the deal, right? Tom calms her Klingon side down, and she has trouble kind of accepting herself for who she is, and Tom likes her for who she is, and that works great for B'Elanna. I totally get that. What does Tom get out of the deal?
A hot chick.
Hashtag fact.
I meant other than that. Come on, where's your mind?
I think she's,
sorry, I went for the obvious.
No, I think she's great for him as well. I think in the same way, before he gets with B'Elanna, he's a bit of a player, you know, he's a bit of a ladies man, and he's not really, there's something about Tom, like, he just doesn't settle to anything. Like, he just seems a bit flighty, and he just seems a bit like he just can't really commit to anything, and he's a bit all over the place. And then B'Elanna just, like, changes him.
He's not living for anything, right? Before B'Elanna.
As really. B'Elanna calls him many times, he's a pig.
He's a pig, and so
he is kind of a pig.
He's a pig.
I don't know. I'm not the one who said he gets a hot chick, but, you know. thanks for that, Suzanne.
He's really immature. He's very immature. And then when he starts seeing B'Elanna, he just grows so much.
He does. He starts to take things responsibly and seriously.
But how much of that is B'Elanna and how much of that is just being in a meaningful environment like Voyager?
Well, I think there's a combination. Yeah, sure. But I think when he's with, once he's with B'Elanna, he definitely does change. I think she has a really good influence on him.
Mm-hmm. I know. He gets like married and buried, right? I mean, he doesn't hang out with Harry and play Captain Proton as much, you know?
Oh, he still hangs out with Harry. And he works on his Camaro.
Yeah.
His Camaro, yes.
His Camaro.
And his dodgy spaceship that he finds somewhere that nearly causes a bit of marital disharmony.
In a way, it's charming. In a way, they're like the most relatable couple because they have this 1950s television set and they like watching
and
movies.
It's,
maybe Keiko and Chief O'Brien are similar, you know, just sort of day-to-day married life. You see that. You see Tom and B'Elanna living day-to-day married life. You don't see that a lot in Star Trek.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, you don't.
Definitely. And I do think they are one of the most real couples that we see in Star Trek. You know, you believe this is a real relationship. It's not cotton candy sweet. It's not like all perfect, wonderful all the time and you know, fantastic Starfleet future and here's our perfect relationship to go with our perfect life. You know, it's real. It's real.
Well, we also don't see a lot of married couples in Star Trek.
Exactly. I was just thinking we don't even see that many couples in general in Star Trek. I was trying to think who we could compare it to, and there aren't that many couples that we get more than a passing scene with. So, you know, this is the great romance of Star Trek. Is that what you're saying? Mm. It might be.
I think it's like the most played out relationship we see in Star Trek because obviously
in all of Star Trek,
it gets the most airtime.
I think so. And we meet them as separate characters in their own right to begin with for quite a long period of time before they're actually in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So we know them already. And then the relationship, you slowly see it develop on screen. Then obviously you see them develop together as a couple. Then obviously they get married and then have a child. And, you know, we get to see the whole thing, you know, from start to... I know it's not finished, obviously, because, you know, they're still together and they go home and everything. But, you know, we get to see this whole progression of their relationship and how it grows over time.
So I know you guys always make fun of me for not having read the Voyager novels as much as you guys have.
Yes,
in the Voyager novels, as everyone gets older, like 5 years, 10 years, 15 years older, do they turn into like this middle-aged bickering married couple?
I'm not sure we've got to 15 years yet, have we?
No.
Have we got that far?
I don't think so.
I don't think we've got to 15 years in the books.
No, in the books.
Oh, in the books? Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
I want to say it's like Voyager. 5 or 6 years, maybe.
And so much happens with them that... Wow.
Loads of stuff happens with them in the books. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize I was opening up a can of worms. Okay.
Two cans of worms. That's how much stuff happens.
It all gets very interesting in the books with Tom and B'Elanna, actually, I have to say. Not in a bad way, but it all gets very interesting.
Okay, I haven't read those, but does that information like color your perception of Tom and B'Elanna in Voyager itself? Have you like retconned it in your mind?
No.
No,
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, it's just a continuation on, almost seamless continuation on.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do get a lot of, for want of a better way of putting it, airtime in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Them and their relationship gets a lot of time in the books, which is nice.
And it's handled really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah, it continues to kind of be interesting and develop into the books as well, rather than just being, oh, well, now they're married and they've got a kid and everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah.
You know, it all gets very interesting without wanting to spoil things for you, Zach. But
nothing so cliche as, honey, I'm home.
No, nothing as cliche as... Do you think B'Elanna would ever tolerate that?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't see that happening.
She'd throw something at him, probably.
I don't see their kids being like that either.
Don't pluralize.
Whoops.
Spoiler.
I realized what I just did.
Spoiler.
Hey, I could have just been theoretical if you hadn't have said that. I could have glossed over that.
It's actually kind of really hard to know who maintains the peace in that relationship. They're both a little volatile in their own ways.
Yeah.
Usually there's like a calm person, not as calm person, right? They're kind of
equitable. They take turns being kind of loopy.
There's no voice of reason in that relationship.
No, I agree with that. I think that's why they work so well, though, because when one of them is being irrational or, you know, going off the rails a bit. The other one is there to steer them back on, and then they perform that responsibility for each other on different occasions. And I think that's one of the reasons why they work so well together. You just got to hope they don't both go off the rails at the same time.
Or they're not being, you know, experimented upon, like, you know, in that episode.
Mm, yeah, it's scientific method.
Maybe Tom just wanted to bust out the Klingon pain stick from time to time. Like, Blana, knock it off.
Are those, like, tasers?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I'm thinking they're, like, tasers.
Klingon don't, tasers.
Don't tase me, bro. Yeah.
Don't tase me, Blana. Don't tase me.
But, we should probably start off really... I know we've kind of already started off, but we should probably start by talking about, like, how they get together. I just love how their relationship kind of slow... It's a real slow burn to start with.
It is a very slow burn.
It's like it really slowly, you just watch it becoming something. I love that.
And then she bites his face.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, that right there. Bam!
Yeah.
I'm just going to bite you. There you go.
Clinch the deal right there. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Blood Fever, obviously, like we're bringing up there. And what do you guys think about that episode? Because I was really thought, like, it's so interesting, Tom's reaction to her in that episode.
It was very sweet. Hmm. Like, you could see that he really wanted to go through with this, but then he was like, no, I can't because I really respect you and like you.
That was a different side of Tom we saw in that episode for the first time that we get to see more and more as their relationship progresses. And I just really appreciate that. Especially going back and watching it now and thinking, wow. Yeah, underneath all of his kind of exterior, this guy has got some integrity.
It did really take Blana to bring out that nuance in his character.
Definitely. Because up until that point, we don't really see that from him. And I think if you'd seen pilot Tom Paris, and I mean Tom Paris in the pilot caretaker as opposed to Tom being a pilot, then you wouldn't have expected that of him, because that's not how he comes across initially.
Oh, no, because he was hitting on everybody at that point.
Yeah,
he would hit on anyone who would pay his bar bill.
Harry.
I'm just thinking about that scene where him and Harry have gone off to, like, investigate these weird readings on the tricorder, and he just gets completely distracted by this farm girl who just, like, he's like, oh, and then Harry turns around and he's just there, like, kissing her, and she's like, what are you doing? Easily distracted.
Yep, he is a pig.
But I really like that, because I feel like in Blood Fever we get this foreshadowing of a Tom Paris we're going to see a lot more of later. He's so sweet in that episode, and I really like the fact that we get to see the person that we're going to see later on. And Balana's a big part of him becoming that.
I think Balana's really tolerant of his quirks. Mm. Like, he still likes to mess with his Camaro, quote unquote. He likes to mess around with Captain Proton. He likes to mess around with his 50s television. He's a quirky dude. He's kind of a dork, really, in a way. He does all these dorky things.
Tom's a dork.
And Balana's pretty tolerant of Tom being a dork, frankly, right?
Well, yeah. But then, you know, she knew him for a long time, or they knew each other for a long time before they got into a relationship. So they already had a good idea of who each other was, and they kind of got into the relationship already knowing that. So they've already kind of fallen for each other with that in mind. So, yeah.
Well, we think of Tom as kind of a flyboy, but if you look at how he actually spends his time, he's a total nerd.
He kind of is a nerd, but then... You know, all his nerdy hobbies are to do with sort of history and techie stuff as well. He's
That's
a techie.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's a techie.
He's a freakosaurus.
He's a tricky techie.
He is, but I don't see him watching sci-fi so much or collecting, you know.
As he's flying around playing Captain Proton?
Yeah, Captain Proton, hello.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody LARPs
with
in
his
the future.
Ray gun.
Everybody LARPs in the future.
LARPs in the future.
Everybody does LARP in the future.
It takes a special kind of person to put up with that kind of, you know, seemingly time-wasting behavior.
I think she's a bit of a nerd as well, to be fair.
You think so? Oh, Tom's way
she's
worse.
She's a science nerd.
She loves sitting down with him with a bowl of popcorn, watching the TV. She loves that.
That's true.
We see that a few times. She gets him that TV, but we always see them watching it together. You know, I wonder whether or not she didn't just get that because she wanted to watch it herself.
And just used him as an excuse.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting you a TV. Oh, yeah, I'd do that. I'm like, oh, I'm going to buy you a new iPad.
Now, why doesn't anybody have a gaming system, an old school gaming system?
I always wondered that.
Because they just do their gaming on the holodeck, right? They don't need...
Well, yeah, but I mean, if Tom has a TV... Where's and it's Xbox? Clearly an old school TV. He needs like an Xbox or an Atari or something.
Yeah, where's his Sega Master System?
Exactly.
Tom would totally bust out the old Pong system.
Pong?
Nintendo SNES or
no,
whatever.
No, no, no. It would be Pong all the way.
Pong.
No, I'd like to see War. Frogger or Q-Bert.
Or like the original Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
The first one. And GoldenEye, like, don't you think we'd see, like, Harry and Tom playing GoldenEye?
I can kind of picture now, Tom goes off to the bridge and Bonnie's like, good, he's gone, I can get an hour of Zelda in, finally.
Super Mario Brothers.
Headcanon. Super Mario. I love that, that's brilliant. I bet she does. That would be so good. Yeah, he goes and she's just straight on the cartoons. Or whatever she wants to watch. Or maybe she's like Spike out of Buffy, who just loves like really dramatic soaps. You know, like really over-the-top soaps.
Ryan's
and when
Hope.
Everybody else is gone, he's like, stick it, yes. Ryan's Hope. Nicely done. Chink.
Okay, so this is a bit of a detour, but this is a good point. Okay, so Tom and Buana, they like to hang out and watch movies and eat popcorn. What kind of movies do they watch? Do they agree on their movie choices or not agree on their movie choices?
I would say they would switch off. Like Tom would pick a week, B'Elanna would pick the next week.
Yeah.
Do they actually genuinely embrace each other's movie choices? Or is it conflict?
No, because
all
Tom
the way?
Plays that 3D B movie stuff.
Yeah.
I could picture Tom watching Mystery Science Theater 3000 for sure. He's a Misty. That's it.
You just wanted to say Mystery Science Theater 3000 because you haven't said it for a few weeks.
It's like my second
favorite.
That
and he's wearing the shirt. He's wearing the shirt.
I am. Yeah. It's actually a thing we do on Trek FM. Listeners may or may not know this, that we often wear t-shirts to other fandoms when we record Star Trek podcasts. It's just a thing.
Mine is a Star Trek-ish one.
Does yours say beer me up, Scotty?
It does say beer me up, Scotty.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, okay, you got Bazinga. I've got Mystery Science Theater 3000.
I've got Bazinga, yeah.
Suzanne's got beer me up, Scotty. So there you go.
While I'm drinking a beer. Yes.
So you guys don't envision a lot of conflict about their movie choices or TV choices. I kind of envision like she wanting to watch romance. He wants to watch, you know, be science fiction movies.
I could also see her wanting to watch Die Hard.
Yeah, she likes action movies, but with a bit of romance. Like she likes her Klingon romance. So it's not romance. You know, it's not rom-com we're talking about here. We're talking about quirky, interesting romance stuff.
Okay, so she would like speed.
Mm. Yes.
Because that's action and there's a little bit of romance in there.
Yeah, I see that's what she would like. Yeah, definitely.
Do you think there was ever, on Klingon television, presumably Klingons had something like television, right? They have to disseminate information in some way, right? What would a Klingon rom-com be like?
Violent. It wouldn't be on before the watershed, let's put it that way.
No, I'm sure. Do you think B'Elanna like has a little, you know, affinity for Klingon comedy, Klingon drama, Klingon rom-coms?
Oh gosh, what would Klingon comedy be like?
There has to be no funny Klingons. Okay, now there are funny Klingons. Like there are genuinely funny Klingons, right? Okay,
no, I'm genuinely just wondering what exactly it would be like.
Like Klingon stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
Like Gallagher, but with a batleth.
Take my targ, please.
like you don't want to be in the splash zone when they sacrifice a targ with a batleth. I'm just saying.
Ew.
Remember when Gallagher used to smash the watermelons with the big
sledgehammer?
Yeah, I
never got him.
That's what I'm saying.
Never
Klingon comedy
that.
Might be like that, but with a batleth.
Okay, I hear you. I don't know. I like. I mean, I think Klingon comedy would be the kind of thing that Klingons would find hilarious, but we would just be like, "This isn't even funny. Is this supposed to be comedy? I don't really get what they're doing here."
That's how I feel about Gallagher.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel.
We are agreeing with you then.
So you're saying to the Klingons, we're kind of like Vulcans. You know, they have all these jokes and we're just not getting it. And we're like, playing
straight
man to
their comedy.
They just
have a very different type of humor that all centers around hitting things with batteries.
They're like, humans have no sense of humor.
As it should.
Right. Can you imagine the irony of Worf sitting there like, you know, stern faced on Next Generation going, humans have no sense of humor.
Yeah.
As he drinks his prune juice. Yes.
Legit. Yeah.
So this is a bit of a detour. I just wondered what Blano's TV viewing taste would be insofar as she bought the television for Tom, maybe for herself.
Yeah, so I think action. Maybe she likes rubbish disaster movies with a bit of romance. I can see her liking that.
Or some science programs like Mr. Wizard, yeah. Or...
Bill Nye the Science Guy?
Bill Nye the Science Guy or Neil deGrasse Tyson's Cosmos.
She's like, computer, yeah? Download the archives of Bill Nye the Science Guy to my
and
quarters
Mr. Wizard.
Stat.
Yeah. And then, you know, they're all up on the bridge and everyone's like, oh, what's Bilana doing with her day off? And Tom's like, oh, she's binge watching Bill Nye. She's been there, you know, in her PJs since 8 o'clock this morning.
I can picture she's been watching Bill Nye all day. Tom comes home and she says to Tom, you know, Tom, have you ever thought about wearing a bow tie? You might look good.
But if he's on the bridge and says all that, would Captain Janeway know who Bill Nye the Science Guy is?
Yeah. It's Janeway.
I know.
Even in the 24th century.
She's like Janeway the Science Woman. Of course she would know who he is.
She would have watched all those when she was a child.
Yeah, so Tom would be expecting all this sympathy about how he's like a science widower. And Janeway's just like, oh my gosh, why are you not watching it with her? It's awesome. And starts going into
this big
tirade about how much she loves Bill Nye. That would be amazing. I didn't know we were doing a rewrite tonight, but I quite like this.
This is the Tom Bellano rewrite.
Yeah.
I could see her watching Good Eats.
Yes, completely.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know. Good Eats?
It's like a cooking show, but it's so sciencey and theatrical. It's awesome.
Oh, okay.
Neelix would be the one watching that. Come on.
Oh, it would that be too sciencey true. For him. I could see Neelix watching Amaral.
Bam. Leola Root. Bam.
Exactly.
Now, so that I can name some programs that you guys haven't heard of, Neelix would watch Saturday Kitchen. Now, Saturday Kitchen is like, it's a Saturday morning TV show in the UK where it's like, it's half chat show, half them cooking stuff that they eat while they're doing the chat show.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of interesting, yeah. I could see Neelix watching that. Because it's like food mixed with a briefing with Neelix, so.
That no one would watch.
Yeah.
You think Neelix goes to the holodeck and actually like plays Julia Child, like Neelix and Julia, like they're cooking together?
Oh, that is so going in my head canon right now.
The test of a good cook is whether you can cook Leola Root correctly.
That was perfection. Thank you.
This is good cooking. Cooking with Neelix. Put some more Leola Root in it.
I think she'd be saying less Leola Root.
I was going to say, nothing Neelix makes ever needs more Leola Root.
What about their athletic pursuits?
Athletic pursuits?
He kept trying to get her to do Klingon, like a Klingon program. But it was like an athletic program, and I can't remember what it was. Shoot.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't remember either. Did they download Worf's program or something? Go fight the holodeck monsters, that kind of thing?
Oh, no. He kept asking her about the Klingon ritual. That's what it was. Day of Honor. That was one of the episodes.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where they finally end up confessing their feelings for each other? When
the
they
one
get,
she
like,
finally confesses her feelings at the very end. When
in space.
Stuck, yeah. Okay, that's the scene that jumps out at me that I remember the most. Them being sort of floating around in space and they have their moment. That's a great
trying
scene.
To get the warp core back.
Yeah. And then when they get back to the ship, they try and have so we were dying moment, and then they don't manage to do it.
Yeah,
well, okay, no, because it ends the with them like being beamed back in.
Does it? Is that in the next episode then?
It might have been.
Yeah, I think
didn't see the next episode.
I'm sure there's a bit where they have a conversation about it afterwards.
At the very end of this episode, Voyager to Tom Paris, Janeway's voice comes through the communicator. Tom, do you read me? Respond. And then they're like beamed back. And that's the end.
Okay. It must be in the next episode then.
It's kind of a weird moment. They're like, you know, I kind of like you, but it might have just been oxygen deprivation.
Well, yeah, but surely they knew if they liked each other, like, before that, you know. It didn't just come on whilst they were out there in space. They've obviously been thinking about this for some time. I mean, we see in Blood Fever how much Tom likes Bilana, so...
Yeah, but all he says to her at that point, he doesn't say, you know, I love you back. It's like, you picked a great time to tell me.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, say something.
Okay, it's like Han Solo and Princess Leia. It's like,
I love you. I love you. I hate that.
That's exactly what we're talking about, though.
I hate that.
Right? They had a Han Solo and Princess Leia moment.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. like, you picked a great time to tell me, kind of is like, well, I knew, but, you know, I was just waiting for you to actually say it. But I feel like he doesn't say it back, but I feel like that's because he's kind of already made his feelings clear by that point.
He's near death and he's playing it cool.
That's not the time to do it. You're about to die. You don't know the Voyager's going to beam me back.
But then also, you know, she doesn't want them to die without him knowing. So that's kind of romantic. Well, I find that romantic anyway, but I'm kind of hopeless. So do you guys find that romantic, though?
No, I totally do. Absolutely. We're kind of making light of it because it's not terribly realistic, I guess. But
well, no, but then Star Trek.
It is romantic, but it would have been more romantic had he actually said it back to her.
That's what I'm saying, right? They're about to die. They're burying their souls. It's not the time to be flippant.
Yeah.
No, and I get that. But also, I kind of find it cute that, like, he obviously already knows how he feels about her. He feels like she knows that. And, you know, he's been kind of waiting to see if she's going to say something back. Like, you get this sense of, like, oh, he's had the feeling that she's got feelings for him as well, but she's not really made it clear and stuff. And then it's just like, I don't know, it's nice. It's one of those early relationship things that's just kind of adorable.
You know, just off camera, when they get back to the ship, everyone's like, finally, for God's sakes, we all knew this was happening. About time you guys got a clue.
We were listening in.
Oh, gosh, that would have been awful. Bless them.
Imagine Tuvok being the one to hear that. Oh.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, they sort of... Then they go into this early relationship phase where they're sort of all over each other. That's all quite entertaining. At one point, they get reprimanded by Janeway, I seem to remember.
Well, that was during the scientific method. So, I mean, was it them or was it the aliens experimenting on them?
Well, I don't know. The thing was, you know, I don't really find that particularly not believable.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they are at that point, I'm kind of like, yeah, I can believe that they'd be all over each other when they're supposed to be working.
I can picture Captain Janeway now. She's like, you two need to stop acting like children. Now get out of my ready room so I can get off to the holodeck and go sailing with Chakotay.
Yeah.
I've got somewhere to be, darn it.
I always kind of felt like that reaction of Janeway's, whilst I get where she's coming from, I felt it was a bit OTT, and I always felt like that was the consequence of her under the influence of the aliens and scientific method. And I always kind of, even now when I watch it, I kind of expect her to apologize to them at the end.
Yeah.
Well, in my head canon, she apologizes to them at the end.
I would hope so, because she was really mean. And she's not usually really mean.
Yeah, and I mean, I get where she's coming from in the sense that, you know, you're supposed to be on duty and, you know, keep this for, like, when you're not on duty and stuff. But in the Voyager environment, like, I feel like we don't get to see her being happy for the fact that they're in a relationship. Like, I would have thought that would be something that would really please her.
Considering Janeway's kind of a mother hen to everyone, you'd think she would
kind
of think
and I
that's
feel
great.
Like that didn't really fit, and I felt like that was influenced by her being under the alien experiment, and that at the end she would have been a bit different about it. So in my head canon, she's like, I'm really sorry I was a dick to you.
I was hangry.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, really, like, for me, they kind of epitomize what's great about Voyager and, like, the success story of Voyager, because it's easy to get stuck in this whole, oh, well, you know, we got lost and everybody's been away from their families for all this time and so on. But it's like, there is a couple and a family that never would have been together if it wasn't for this happening.
Yeah.
You know, they've been thrown together by this, and that is, like, for me, that's just, like, one of the things that's really great about Voyager, the fact that they exist because of it.
And you can see why Tom's not exactly chomping at the bit to get home to the Alpha Quadrant at that point.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's happy for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got all his hang-ups around his dad and all that kind of thing, but, yeah, no, he's not. And, I mean, neither is B'Elanna, really.
Yeah, she's got nobody to go back to.
Yeah, what has she really got? I mean, her dad is still around, but aside from that...
Yeah, but they don't really talk.
They don't really talk, no, exactly. So apart from the Maquis, there's not a whole lot back there waiting for her.
And then the Maquis aren't there anymore either.
Exactly, right. And then she goes completely off the rails, as we see in Extreme Risk.
You know, it's interesting because you would think that out of how many people are on Voyager, 140-some-odd, right? I don't know the exact number. I should know these things, but I don't.
It varies with time.
It does vary with time. Where do they keep getting these crew members they keep losing, right? Like the shuttlecraft.
Borg babies.
Right.
Neelix.
They've got a farm system. Yeah.
7 of 9.
They just pick up waifs and strays. It's Janeway.
You think there would be more couples, but you really don't get that many on Voyager. It's really the Tom and Blana show in terms of couples.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I think that's probably because that's who we get amongst the main characters.
So you're saying there's like a bunch more couples off screen?
Yeah, but, I think okay. So.
They're like rabbits on Voyager.
They're not like rabbits. But, you know, as Varric says to B'Elanna, you know, people are going to start pairing off.
Well, doesn't Chakotay say that too?
Does he say that at some point?
Yeah, he's talking to Janeway. She's like, that's a luxury I don't have.
Okay, did you just turn a Tom and B'Elanna conversation into a Janeway Chakotay conversation?
She's a genius.
Subtle. Real
it's
subtle,
a sickness
Suzanne.
That she has. She can't help herself.
I can't
herself.
Help myself.
Like, wait a minute, this was supposed
sorry,
to be about Tom and B'Elanna.
She's just ill. She can't help it.
It's not an illness.
I don't know whether that's exactly what Varric said, but Varric says something to that effect to B'Elanna, doesn't he? He's like, oh, well, you know, you've only got a choice of so many people and people are going to start coupling up
of
kind of thing.
All the people to couple up on Voyager, Tom and B'Elanna, I could imagine a bunch of other couples too, but they don't really come to fruition. It's really Tom and B'Elanna.
Yeah, but I think if you'd had more than one couple amongst the main characters, I think it would have felt a bit soap opera-y. Yeah.
Unless it was Janeway Chakotay.
7 years is a long time.
Well, yeah, but we can edit that in our heads. That's fine. I've said before how I'm pleased that it didn't happen in the show. I've said that previously, so I'm on record as saying that. I'm happy for it to happen when they get home. That's
so
fine.
Just to be clear, you guys really think there are probably more couples, just not in the main cast, and it's all happening off screen. But that's in your Voyager land, Voyager headcanon. There are lots and lots of Voyager couples out of the 140 people. Just we don't ever see them. So there's like dates on the holodeck are happening regularly.
Yeah.
And dinner dates
of course
in the mess
there
are,
because,
are
you know.
Regularly and, okay.
Except for Harry.
Unless there happen to be any existing couples within the crew already, which there could have been.
Which there might have been, we don't know.
But
right?
Even if there were, it's only going to be one or two, isn't it? Everybody else on the ship is not just going to stay single for 7 years, are they? Or an indefinite amount of time.
That's what I'm saying. You think
so,
you'd
yes,
see a lot
I'm
more
sure
of that.
There is plenty of that going on. But I'm glad we didn't see too much of it, because if we had, it would have started to feel a bit like a soap opera, I think.
I think some people think of Voyager as being more like
a soap
opera.
Well, I think it is in some ways, but then...
Really?
I think...
Well, I don't know. It's not dramatic like a soap opera, but it's rom-com.
In
a lot
some
ways.
Way.
I was going
to
say, it's not everybody sleeping with everybody else and people
kill
everybody.
It's not like that kind of soap
opera.
That's
like a soap opera that I think of. It's like people sleeping with everybody and then people trying to kill the people they're sleeping with.
It can be more like a sitcom than other Star Treks. way off base here? I don't think so.
So is it like Friends? Is it that kind
yes,
of
sitcom? Yes, it's like Friends.
Or is it Cheers?
It's more like Cheers. It's more like Cheers.
Okay. Yeah, no, I see that. I mean, you know, there's more of a family atmosphere, but...
So, I like these things about Voyager. I Tom and B'Elanna aren't really... I mean, they're an interesting couple, but it's a fairly stereotypical opposites attract kind of coupling. I would like to have seen a little more relationship-y stuff in Voyager. I wouldn't mind Star Trek going in that kind of casual, character-based direction. I don't need flash, bang, bang, boom action all the time. Character drama and lighthearted character stuff is fun for me. I like those kinds of episodes.
So which other couples would you like to see?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. Like, what other couples?
Like Mortimer Heron and somebody?
Yeah, okay. Other than Janeway
Tal
Chakotay.
Tal Celeste?
Well, bracket that. When? Who? When? What did you
Tal say? Tal Celeste, Mortimer Heron. I'm going way down into the, like, depths of...
People in fan fiction like to pair Tal up with Harry, don't they?
They do, and I don't agree with that.
I never saw that myself, but that tends to be a thing.
Tal deserves better.
Who would you pair Harry up with, then?
Who would I pair Harry up with? That's the question on the table. Boy, that's an interesting... Like, in the main cast or no?
Whoever you like, really.
Anybody.
Anybody on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think for a minute. I had to think about this. Like, seriously, who would Harry end up with?
I say nobody. Oh.
No, that's not an option. Like, you know. It's...
No promotion, no girl. Sorry.
Bless him. But he's still got his girl back home.
She's probably moved on by now.
Read the book, Zachary. Oh, she gets super interesting in the books. Mm-hmm. I love her in the books. She's ace.
We honestly don't have that many female characters to choose from, right? Okay, maybe. Is it way out in left field to say Samantha Wildman?
No.
What?
It's not way out in left field.
Oh, poor Samantha.
Well, who else would it be? It wouldn't be Seska. It wouldn't be Captain Janeway. It wouldn't be B'Elanna. It wouldn't be Seven of Nine. Who's it going to be? You don't have that many characters
poor
to choose
Sam.
From.
Poor Sam.
That could work. I don't know.
Poor Sam. It's terrible.
Poor Naomi, too.
Yeah, sometimes people get a bit precious about her being paired up with people, but then I'm just like, they don't know how long they're going to be out there. You know, and her husband could have moved on or whatever.
Yeah. I just, no, not Harry.
Why? Who do you think he would end up
with? I don't know.
Nobody.
I don't see him with anyone on Voyager, to be honest.
Nobody.
I really don't.
Well, that's my point. It's actually really hard to pair people up on Voyager. You don't have that many choices to choose from.
I just think Tom and B'Elanna work really well.
Oh, yeah. Yes, compared to Harry and anyone, yes.
I just think if you look at them in like season one, you'd never put them together, but they just end up working. They just end up really working.
Oh, no way, especially with how much she despises him for like turning on the Maquis.
Yeah, but you know how like strong feelings of any kind can turn into strong feelings of a different kind.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, putting yourself back in circa 1995, could you have predicted in any way, shape, or form that Tom and B'Elanna would end up together way back in 1995?
Not in season one, I don't think.
No, I saw her getting with Harry for some reason. That it seemed like the writing was going that way.
Yeah.
Or her and Chakotay made sense. They were flirting with that idea a little bit.
They do play around with that.
That makes sense in no universe. That makes sense in no universe at all.
And then we get that whole weird episode where she has the flash of her having a thing for him, which I never saw that.
I'm gonna throw a crazy idea out there and you can let me know what you think. It's a crazy idea.
Only you can.
what if, because B'Elanna needs someone to kind of calm her down, to kind of balance out her Klingon side, what if it were B'Elanna and Tuvok?
Wow. No,
just entertain the idea for a minute.
No, I can't. Do you know why? Because Tuvok's married and like in my head, and I know this is how they tend to work, but like for me, like I so strongly like Vulcan's mate for life, and it's like he's like a swan.
He's very honorable.
So if it were, instead of him teaching Kes to meditate, he teaches B'Elanna to meditate to calm her Klingon side down, and they develop affection for each other.
I could see a friendship coming from that, but nothing more. Not with Tuvok.
No, I can't see that at all.
I see. I didn't think it was such a crazy idea.
She could have been paired with Ayala.
Maybe she was.
And then maybe he would have had, you know, more speaking in any episode.
And then they have history as well because of obviously being on the ship together.
Right.
So that could have worked.
Mm-hmm.
For all you know, Al is like the party guy of the ship, right?
But then
you know,
obviously they all have history with Tom, which we never really get to hear anything about, and there is some fantastic fan fiction on.
Al doesn't say much, but he gets around.
From when he was in the Maquis. Although it's not for a very long period of time, I don't think. But still,
so
they knew each other.
I guess my question is there anyone... if it's hard to pair Harry up with someone, we're going to set him aside because we're not talking about Harry right now. We're talking about Tom and B'Elanna. would there be a better pairing for either one? I know it makes sense, but can you imagine... So is there anyone else B'Elanna could have been... Okay, maybe you guys don't like Tuvok, but is there anyone Tom could have been with that would have made sense? Anyone B'Elanna could have been with that would have made sense? Could at least as much sense, if not more sense.
I could see... And bear with me. I could see... Once B'Elanna gets past Seven's gruffness, I could see those two.
Mm.
B'Elanna and Seven.
That might work.
B'Elanna and Seven, yes.
Well, they've got all the kind of opposites attract on screen chemistry, right?
Yeah.
They've got the same kind of issues that B'Elanna and Tom do in some ways, right? It's a largely confrontational relationship early on.
Yeah. And you know, Tom and Harry could have totally been a thing.
No. Not Harry.
Yeah, I could have seen that.
Tom deserves
myself,
better.
But anyway.
Tom deserves better than Harry.
I have a sideline in Tom romance, which I think I might have mentioned this before, actually.
Is it Tom and Chakotay?
Yeah, it's Tom and Chakotay.
Yeah, I could see that.
I can't see that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Well, okay, way back in Caretaker.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's the point.
Exactly.
There's strong feelings there.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the way Chakotay says "latinum" at. what did you
wow,
fight for this
Chakotay.
Time? Latinum. You really choose on that L. Latinum.
He chews on a lot of words.
That's like Julia Child.
Who knew that Chakotay and Julia Child sounded so similar? What did they offer you this time, latinum?
What was your price this time?
Is that the line? What was your price this time, latinum? No, that line always stuck out of me because he really chews on that L so much. Latinum, you know.
I love the way he talks. Can we just say that? I know we're not talking about Chakotay, but I'm obsessed with the way that he talks.
I would love for him to read me bedtime stories.
Yeah, I could listen to him talk all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, out of the main cast then, Tom and Blana are the best match out of all of them. I think that's there's a case to be made for that, that they're the best couple. If you take any two people in the main cast on Voyager, they're the ones that make the most sense as a relationship. It's hard to really kind of envision the others.
Yes, they do.
It's fun to imagine different pairings, you know, what that might have been like, but...
Yes, and we have fan fiction for that.
Oh, lots of it.
Because they've all been in, all matched up every which way.
Oh, yeah, even Ayala and Janeway have been many a times.
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Some really good stories, too.
Tom and Janeway is a massive thing in fan fiction as well.
I don't get that.
I never saw that, but there's a whole site for that if you're into that. I'm not, personally. But...
It's not really my kind of fiction, but, you know, now that you've piqued my interest, so...
So the next thing I wanted to ask about was the whole wedding scenario. How we get cheated out of seeing their wedding.
Oh, that made me so mad.
So we see their wedding, but we actually don't.
That is one of the best red herrings in Star Trek.
Like, yeah. It's pretty good. Haha,
here's Tom and Blada's wedding. Haha, fake, just kidding.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. We're taking it away.
Fake out. Yeah, I felt like that was a little bit confusing, though, and then how they played it out afterwards, because they show it, mm-hmm. and then they don't ever really say anything about it, and then a few episodes later, they're not married, and you're like, oh, so that didn't happen in the real timeline, then, or didn't happen to the real ship.
That was my impression, didn't happen to the real ship, right?
Yeah, because they actually properly get married at the end of Drive, don't they, after the whole race scenario, yeah.
But also from that episode, I want to know how the replicated ship... got further ahead than the real ship did.
Yeah, there's definitely some things that don't add up in that episode, for sure.
And I really wish that the real ship could have known about the replicated ship.
Okay, so we don't have much information
about
the alternate
Voyager.
What we'll call it alt Voyager, for lack of a better term. We don't have much information about them, but what happened to that ship and that crew that caused Tom and Blana to get together before the real Tom and Blana got married?
Before.
To get married, yeah.
Something that also caused Voyager to be further on in the Delta Quadrant than real Voyager.
The same thing. It was in the script.
The same thing. The exact same thing. Yes.
It was a domino effect.
Yes. I have no idea. I found it really interesting that they chose to do that, though. I think it was a good choice because I think it did really suck you in, like... You weren't questioning that that was real at all.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think maybe it was just the safe thing to do? Like, you know, we can test out the idea, see what the fan reaction is, and if the fans like it, then we'll go for it. If fans don't like it, we'll pull back and say Voyager reset button it and say it didn't really happen.
No, I don't think so, because I don't think that they've ever really worried about what are the fans going to think.
They never care what the fans think. Historically, I think that's true.
Or else they would have had Janeway Chakotay together.
I was going to say they would have had a Janeway Chakotay fake out marriage if they wanted to care what the fans thought.
So you're saying they didn't do like a fan focus group kind of? No. Not.
Can you imagine if they'd done that? Can you imagine if they'd done a Janeway Chakotay fake out and then...
I would have lost my mind.
I know a lot of people who would have lost their mind over that.
I like to kind of imagine the Janeway Chakotay focus group. Like, get a few Star Trek fans together, put them in a room, and let them hash out Janeway Chakotay for you.
How much would I pay to be on that focus group? You have no idea.
A lot. A lot.
Suzanne's voice must be heard.
Yes.
But I think it was very effective what they did, faking out their wedding.
Yeah.
It was a great fake out. Yeah.
Touché is all I've got to say to that.
It starts out so stereotypical. Like, we've seen wedding scenes in Star Trek before. It's always kind of like, one of the best duties a captain has is to do blah, blah, blah. Okay, you've heard all this before, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's fake. It was a great fake out because it was so familiar. We'd seen it before.
Yeah.
At least twice. Once the original series, we saw it in the Next Generation.
It feels totally real. And I'm fine with it, and I really like what they did there, but I'm sad that that meant that we didn't get to see their real wedding.
Yeah.
Because I guess they felt like, we can't do it again.
I wonder if it was the same kind of wedding, or if did real Tom and real Blana do something different?
I think Tom and Blana's real wedding would be a bit different to that.
Like,
I think it'd be a bit more personal to them.
I don't have strong feelings about what their wedding would be like. I'm curious.
So, I don't know. Tom would drive in on a motorbike or something crazy. Wouldn't he? Come on. They'd have it on the holodeck and he'd like drive in his Camaro.
Yeah, definitely not in like the mess hall.
Just married on the Camaro.
Yeah, exactly. And then they'd drive off into the sunset with like, cans tied to this exhaust pipe and stuff. Yeah, that's just, that seems very them for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine, like, Neelix, he's kind of a prankster at weddings, so he takes a little piece of the cheese he was trying to make, you know, the cheese that messed up the neural gel packs. So he takes a piece of his cheese and he puts it on the Camaro's engine block so that when they drive, it melts and you just get this little waft. Like, what is the smell?
Cheese.
Okay, that reminds me of, like, a scene from Grumpy Old Men. Where they throw the dead fish in the back of the car.
Right, it's like that, but with Neelix's cheese.
Definitely something like that anyway. I can see something like that happening.
Maybe on Talix, like, wedding pranks aren't really a thing, so Neelix finds out all about wedding pranks, and he goes, like, hog wild with it.
Yeah, and he, like, stuffed the exhaust pipe full of Leola root.
Yep, cheese on the engine block and Leola root in the exhaust pipe. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, that's got to stink to high heaven.
Yeah. That is not going to be pretty at all.
And then Tom pulls over, what is that smell? And he opens the hood. Neelix!
Curse you. Yeah. I do have to say, I love how that pans out in Drive as well. I really love how they have this whole, they end up having to do the race together and how it all pans out. It's lovely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We are firmly.
Their relationships are so lovely.
We are firmly in rom-com territory with Tom and Bolana.
Yeah, and we get so many lovely little moments as well. Like, there are so many... Their relationship's so sweet. And yeah, we get the moments of, like, antagonism and the moments where they misunderstand each other and the moments where, you know, like, all relationships, they have an argument about something because so-and-so's done this or they've done that. But the sweet moments between them are so sweet. Like, they're just so lovely together.
And that's what all of that together makes it so relatable.
Mm.
The good and the bad, you can just see that with your own relationships.
Like when Bolana's considering having, you know, cosmetic alterative surgery on the baby to remove her Klingon features, right? Tom is so sweet there in response.
He's
like,
amazing in that.
He's amazing.
Episode.
So it's not just comedy. I mean, they have like real substantive issues and real substantive reactions to them.
No, and I really love how they do. I mean, there are problems with that episode that.
Yes.
I'm not convinced that that is how Bolana would behave in that situation, but setting that aside and going, well, okay, that's what they did. I absolutely love that that is then an opportunity for us to see how much Tom has grown, because that's how I see that. I feel like we just see all of the growth that he's gone through and how much more mature he is. You know, he deals with her in such a gentle way and yet so... like an adult, you know, he's really come on, you know, he's a different person. You see a completely different person from what we see at the beginning of the show.
But I think what I love is that he hasn't lost his kind of prankster ways, right? He's not a totally different character. He still likes making jokes. He still likes teasing the doctor. He's just a more serious, more grounded dude. But, you know, he's still Tom.
Yeah, he's still Tom, but he's a Tom that's learned when that is appropriate and when that's not appropriate, and he can step up when he needs to and he can be responsible when he needs to. And yeah, he's still inherently himself. He's got this fun side of him where he just loves to joke and he loves to have fun and do all his hobbies and everything else.
But he's been unmasked. A lot of that was a defensive mask that he would put up, and he doesn't have to do that anymore. So,
well, yeah, and you have to wonder, I think, a lot of it, how he is in the beginning where he's sort of jumping from woman to woman and sort of being a bit of a playboy in that way, whether that is ever who he really is or whether that is just a bit of a smokescreen.
A little bit of both, I'm guessing.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, because he's pretty much convinced himself at that point, I think, that he's worthless and he's not got anything to contribute. That's how I feel about him in the beginning, that he's written himself off.
But given that that's how he views himself, he kind of uses his flippant sense of humor to... get people to like
mechanism.
It's a defense mechanism, right? That's how he fits in with people, because he doesn't view himself very well.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to be like that anymore with Bolana, right? He can be a normal guy. It's more serious, more grounded, because he doesn't... Mm. He views himself better, probably. She brings back his self-esteem.
Yeah, and by the time we get to season 7, you know, and we see him becoming a husband, becoming a father, that he's got to the point where he believes that he can be that responsible person.
without messing it up.
He's always had that in him, but, you know, B'Elanna's helped to bring that out. And by being with her, he's seen that he can be that person and he has the belief in himself.
Do you recall ever seeing Tom having, like, I might screw this up fears? Like, he screwed up a lot of things before. Mm-hmm. He's made bad decisions. Do you think he has, like, oh my God, I'm going to screw this up kind of moments? I don't really think we ever really see it on screen, but
no,
he must have worries
that from
like that,
him,
right?
Though.
Yeah. He screwed up so much.
He's
in the
just
past.
So internal a lot of the time, though. I think when he's with B'Elanna, that's the only time we really get to see him wear his heart on his sleeve. Like, a lot of the time, he keeps his cards very close to his chest, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't really show how he's feeling a lot of the time, and he just jokes his way through things. And it's only when we get those scenes with B'Elanna that we see the inside part of Tom come out. So then we get to see what's going on in there. But yeah, I absolutely believe that he's... Like when we see with 30 Days, you know, he's so... He's got so many issues with that because he's thought that he's progressed, and he's just like, oh no, I'm just the same old screw up that I've always been kind of thing. And I do think that's very different from what we see from him in the beginning, but, you know, it's about how he feels about himself. He's like, oh, I've just messed up again. You know, I've spent all this time trying to make Captain Janeway proud of me and believe in me. And look at this faith she's put in me, and now I've let her down.
But, I think what I love about Tom as a character, even when he gets all serious, like in 30 Days or when something serious is going on with B'Elanna, he still kind of brings a sense of humor into it. He's like, oh, you know, I'm all regretful of what I've done. I'm reflective. I'm writing a letter to my dad in 30 Days. Oh, but finally, the warden sent me some bread and water. So.
Yeah.
And that's Tom, right?
Too? No.
Because he tries to lighten it, doesn't he? Like,
he does. He's always about lightening the mood. Totally. Even
and
when,
that
things,
is
even
his
when
personality
the stuff hits the
through,
fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think these two together, you know, I think they're two of the characters we see grow the most as we go through Voyager. And I sometimes get really annoyed when I hear people talk about how, oh, you know, Voyager doesn't change. Nobody changes. There's no character growth, etc. And I'm like, really?
There's tons of character growth.
Like, I just see these two grow so very much.
I think you're right, though. If you kind of run down the main cast, like, okay, Captain Janeway, how has she changed in 7 years? How about Chakotay? How has he changed in 7 years? Not, you know, within pretty narrow ranges, but Tom and B'Elanna have major changes.
Tom and B'Elanna, the Doctor, Seven, they all have growth.
They do. But I think if we have to ask in terms of degree, I would say Tom and B'Elanna have...
Oh, yeah, they top out.
Yeah, they top out.
At the scale.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like both of those two characters, I feel like the getting lost in the Delta Quadrant is the making of both of them.
Oh, definitely.
And I think they end up having a life that they would have been very different if it hadn't happened. I think that both of them would have ended up getting lost in the wilderness somewhere.
They never would have had what they've gotten had they stayed in the Alpha Quadrant, the opportunities and everything.
So why is that? So they're in the Delta Quadrant. They make a great couple in the Delta Quadrant. But you're kind of saying that if they had met in the Alpha Quadrant, if Voyager hadn't got lost, if they'd met under different circumstances, you know, in a bar somewhere in San Dreams, maybe. That's right, they did. But why wouldn't that not have worked, but it works so well when they're lost in the Delta Quadrant?
Because I think they both needed a clean sheet of paper, and I think that's what the Delta Quadrant is for them.
Mm-hmm. All their baggage went away.
Leave all the baggage behind.
So it's like moving out west, to put a 19th century spin on it.
Yeah.
It's the Oregon Trail. You've died of dysentery.
So which one of them dies of dysentery at the end? It must be all that Klingon food B'Elanna eats. She's the one who dies of dysentery. Or Neelix is cooking with Julia Child. Be careful, you cook it all the way. You might die of dysentery. 450 degrees for at least an hour.
That's a bit worrying. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking about Tom and B'Elanna this week, but that's not the only thing that we've been talking about here on Trek FM. So here is a quick look at some of the other things that you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, continuing mission.
On Trek FM, it's all broken up into different subject streams. Some people talk about the movies, some people talk about Voyager and the different, some people talk about the books, some people talk about the music, and it's all over the place. So what Continuing Mission focuses on is what we call the people who keep Star Trek alive. You're one of those people.
Yep.
That's why you're on Continuing Mission.
The Edge. a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
This is my favorite music in all of Star Trek. So, like, I love the music for The Cage and Where No Man Has Gone Before. Like, that disc, when I had it, I listened to it so much. But this fight music with the tuba in it,
there is a lot of good music. I mean, you know, obviously a lot of that music from the original series was reused in various episodes, and you kind of think of certain things in certain contexts.
Melodic Treks.
I really like the two Fairhaven episodes that we got. I know a lot of people are either very hot on these episodes or very cold on them. They've never bothered me. I think they're a lot of fun. And they're silly, but whatever. But one of the things that's really cool about them is we get something different in the musical field for Star Trek with this wonderful Irish-style music.
Earl Grey.
Well, I just noticed mine deals with all naked people.
Richard!
Wow! All right.
Wait a minute. Oh, Justice Tappich, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I just noticed that. I was like, oh.
There's nudity in each of those episodes.
Well then.
TBMA.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You will find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review whilst you're there. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can also stream and download the MP3 file from our website, or you can grab the RSS link.
Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are lots of ways that you can share your thoughts with us. The best place to join in the conversation with us is in the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Just choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Well, speaking of contact information, Suzanne, when you're not busy cooking with Neelix and Julia, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
You can find me occasionally popping up in the Babel Conference, and you can find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneway8. Kay, when you're not dying of dysentery, where can folks find you?
Well, they can always find me in the Babel Conference, and if they want to look me up on Twitter, my handle there is ChocoWeeble. So, Zach, when you're not cuddled up on the sofa with Tom watching Klingon comedy, where can our listeners find you?
I don't go anywhere else. We just stay there all night. Aw,
you boys. You're so cute.
The Tom and Zach bromance. It could have been. Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of Metatrex, Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy, along with my co-host over there, Mike Morrison. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me over there, and you can find me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G.
If you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. Available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and hope you'll join the team. Again, you can find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
There are a few people we'd like to thank. We'd like to thank C. Brand Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, and our resident master chef. We'd like to thank our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Che Mutala, our Patreon manager. And we'd like to give a special thank you and a shout out to our 5 associate producers here on To the Journey. We'd like to thank Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you very much for your support of Trek.fm and To the Journey.
So, join us next week when we will be sticking some Leola root in our exhaust pipe and driving off into the sunset. But until then, this has been to the journey.